You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:02 here on The Bench, ESPN 97.5. You guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Can't we all just get along, says Roughneck Joe. Damn, I wish John Granato was there for this conversation. We got to play nice, children. We don't have to play nice. Rarely do we play nice. I think you already know that.
I mean, it's not a big deal. He just lays down the towel and eats. I mean, it's just something that should be pointed out.
What I do is hide from people. I self-isolate to eat, and I don't want to get stuff on my bed. And it's not like I have a table in my bedroom. Now, I'll eat on the floor, but that's not
good. Oh, yeah. You'd definitely be an animal then if you're eating on the floor.
That's a towel. There's a towel there, too. I listen to Off Script all the time, and Eric Layden losing his bleep during the pandemic and getting on your level was hilarious. Ask him how he is coping, please. How are you coping with two episodes with Alfredo Barrios, which I think you'd like that one a lot, Dell. He's the guy who's the producer of Magnum PI, but his story is really, really interesting. He was a great podcast guest, but he, you really did lost it pretty much that day. You have been cool and calm and collected during a pandemic. And all of a sudden, once you realize your kids are going to be here, going to be at home for learning, you kind of lost it.
Yeah, I was done. I'm done.
You still have your mask on, I know.
Yeah, no, I still got my mask on. I don't trust you. If it was Dell and I, I'd have no mask.
So I touched that.
But no, I think it just all came back to me. I just
realized who you are.
I just remembered who you were. I'm coping.
You know we're doing a bootleg podcast tonight. You do know that.
Yeah,
right?
I'm going mask and shield.
You're going to go with a shield?
I might go shield.
Like the plastic that you wear on your head?
Yeah, might do that one. Okay. Yeah, and gloves.
Go ahead.
I rocked mask and gloves on the plane yesterday.
Oh, well, I don't blame you. But you've been wearing mask on planes for a while.
No, mask and shield on plane. Oh, I went double on the plane.
Doubled
the
up.
Plane, by the way, was delightful. If I get COVID, it's not from the plane.
Really?
You can smell the Clorox as you walk on the jetway. Now, it's probably like Vegas where they just pump the smell in, you know, to make you feel like it. Like there's just some poor SOB up there just pouring Clorox into the ducts. Yeah. But it smells fantastic when you get on that plane. It's
no one
lovely.
Ever said Clorox smells fantastic.
At least times, like, maybe.
Yeah. No, there's times where but it has to be the non-scented. Like it has to really smell like bleach. It can't smell like a Mexican restaurant bathroom with a lemon.
That's called Fabuloso.
Okay, yeah, I don't want Fabuloso.
That's called Fabuloso.
Yeah, okay, of course you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
That's the purple, yeah.
That's kind of what I feel like your house smells like.
We used to have Fabuloso.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
We have Fabuloso. Okay. It's clean. It's a great cleaning agent. It smells okay.
Thrilled.
So you felt safe on a plane?
I felt completely safe. No.
You just put a mask on in front of me. Well, but you felt safe on a plane.
You're
full
a trash
of animals.
Human.
Well, of course, everybody was very respectful. The plane was empty.
It was?
Yeah, not a lot of people.
What'd you fly on?
United.
I've heard United's like packing up.
Well, not from LA to Houston. Not a lot of people coming down here in August.
COVID
apparently.
To COVID. There's not a big COVID to COVID trip.
No.
Cali to Texas.
Our numbers are down, by the way.
Your numbers are skyrocketing.
No. Oh, don't make me go to.
Yeah, go
oh,
to the
no.
books.
The numbers
don't
guy.
Here we,
yeah.
go.
Here we go.
I've
this
got
guy
the
thinks
numbers.
He's Fauci.
Key takeaways.
I don't know if anyone wants to be
10
Fauci
days in
now,
a row below 1.0.
What people think of him. I'm with you, though. He thinks he's Fauci.
The effective reproduction rate is 0.82. That's the 10th day in a row below 1, which means the virus is slowing.
Okay.
So you're welcome.
Where's L.A.?
Last week was 0.84. I don't know. I'll find it for you, though.
I don't
believe
your newspapers, by the way.
This is the Texas Medical Center. So I'm sorry that you don't like Texas Medical Center. No?
TMC. I don't want to touch your computer. Don't turn it to me.
Texas Medical Center. I'm sorry. Hospitalizations. 117 last week, 147 last month, 270 per day.
All right,
our numbers are way down.
I like it.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I hope that's the case.
I can't trust LA though.
No,
I can't trust LA. So you're doing okay?
No,
though,
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. You know what? Ask me again in 3 weeks when the kids are in Zoom school, and we'll see. But I hit a wall there. I think everybody's hit that wall, right? At some point,
Dell,
you've hit your COVID wall.
I'm thriving.
Nothing has. He's
I mean,
thriving.
But nothing has changed for you.
No,
no. John
finished the show,
too.
Which of course, John probably outside of being able to
you know
go to like
now?
Little
he's,
dirty poker rooms,
he's golfing. Yeah,
he's probably
that's what he's that's, doing.
Okay, so
he goes to poker rooms.
Yeah,
he plays
and he golfs.
Nothing's changed other than he does everything with a mask on occasion.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, John's
I'm not thriving.
No. But, you know, John's a different animal.
Everyone's talking about their mental health, and I understand it. It was like, my mental health has never been better. Everyone's like me now. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I mean, you have the excuse to sit down and watch an obscene amount of television.
Excuse me? You want me to... You mean I can actually binge watch two shows on Netflix an entire weekend and don't have to explain to people why I'm not coming out?
Zero judgment.
I'm great. Thank you.
No, when my wife and kids went out of town, I watched all of Last Chance U. I binged through. They were gone from Monday and got back Friday. I got through all of Last Chance U. I got through all of some mafia show, Fear City, which is a documentary about like early 80s mafia, late 70s.
Boring.
And then something else like. I got through an insane amount of television. That's all I was doing, was just watching show after show after. I just thought, wow, would I have done the same thing if it was? And I said, no, I would have been gambling. I would have gone to play poker or something, or gone to Lake Charles.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like, well, I guess I'll just watch TV again.
The most important question is, will you be devoting time in October to a specific show?
Yes. Yeah,
so
I think you
your
will.
Show comes out in October.
October 9th on Disney Plus.
Yep.
The Right Stuff,
mm-hmm.
Based on the Tom Wolfe book.
How's it going to be different than a movie?
Well, the movie, obviously series is going to be long form. So the series, in terms of the structure of it, the first episode is going to be the process of getting to the Mercury 7. And then as the series plays out, we will take it all the way through the first flight. Shepard's first flight, and then next season will be the rest of the Mercury, and ideally the third season would be Gemini, and so on and so forth. It's a series that could go 5-6 seasons up into, you know, the Apollo, the shuttle era, possibly the Challenger. So, I mean, you know, it's certainly long form compared to the movie.
He's talking to me through a mask. I can't even.
Come on.
I
mean, you literally can't take
and
it seriously.
And my wife even said, listen, if we, because we may have some food tonight.
Yeah, right?
and
wear
sometimes
one of those flat
it's share
masks.
Plates. And she said, "You know, we've gone to dinner with Eric twice, and I think one of them when we were at Passing Provisions, we had plates that we brought out that we shared. But she said, don't do anything that makes Eric feel weird. She's telling me this because she's heard the podcast, and now I get to tell her that you put a mask on after the first segment, and I'm going to say I don't think we can eat with him. He's going to have his own plate, and they have hand sanitizer on the." Tables. Hopefully people have used.
Ideally it's been used.
Oh,
it'll come
I hear
on my
you
hand.
Better now.
Yeah, do you hear
you
me
sound
better?
Better? Yeah.
Okay.
So while you're promoting a show that you're doing,
right.
Maybe you don't want to wear a mask so people can actually hear.
Well, maybe if people wearing masks weren't so odd to you, you'd be able to like get through it.
I think what he's saying, if you weren't such a dirty animal, he wouldn't have to wear a mask.
I mean, you're fine with it, right?
Yeah, I'm
do
fine.
I offend you?
No, because
by
I know I'm not the reason you're wearing it. It's because of him.
I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear that one.
I was going through the cast as he was talking. He's like, this is the only way. The fact that this is a period piece kind of is the only way this show gets made today now.
That's correct.
Because if you look at the demographics of the show, it's not very diverse.
Nor was the late 50s.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Dean.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Because of it, it's a period
there were
piece,
not a lot of black astronauts.
Or anybody else of any type of color. That's what I'm saying. Because
that's
of
true.
Right. Because
like Mad Men doesn't try to
we
fake
actually
it.
Did yeah. have, in the first episode, there's a guy who runs a magazine stand who's African American.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying I get it because of the time period.
That's accuracy.
Yeah. But it's the only way this a show like it can get made now
that's
because
true.
Of the time
that's
period.
That's not something you would that's typically right. pitch like, listen, we've got a show, all white.
There's 13 white regulars.
Yeah.
Like, no, for sure. Now, that being said, what I do think is going to be really cool about the show is that you are going to watch the history of it. So the season 2 will include the hidden figures, women.
Oh, really?
Yep. And then you're going to start, I mean, ideally get all the way up into the first African American astronauts.
Wait, how
the
long
first
do you
female.
Think this is going to go? You've only filmed one.
We film one season. I'm just assuming we get pickup and we have success.
Yeah.
Then you know it could go every.
You kind of know what's coming.
That's what I was just saying when you weren't listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a season.
No, I understood.
This is a series. Thanks, Del. This is a series that can go 5-6 seasons.
Are you going to die in this one like you did the other astronaut show you did?
No. I play a guy who named Chris Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Kraft was the first
real person.
Yes, he was. Yeah, this is a real show, actually.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling the listeners. I know.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure if you were listening.
He's not.
Yeah. I'm telling the listeners. Yes, I'm listening.
And so, yes, I play a real person, Chris Kraft, who is the first flight director of NASA. Mm-hmm. He was basically tasked with putting together Mission Control. So, like, the idea of Mission Control kind of came from this guy's brain. Chris Kraft died the day before I started shooting. My first day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he died at about
– he
was 94.
To
I didn't, unfortunately.
Okay. Who are the consultants for this?
A guy named Robert Yowell is how you pronounce his name. He actually – he did know Chris. Mm-hmm. He worked at NASA for years, and now he has become a consultant. He was he worked on Ad Astra, the Brad Pitt film, mm-hmm. and then he came over to work for us, and he's doing another one. I never saw Ad Astra. Ask Dell.
It's okay.
He would know.
I've seen it. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get in your feels about your relationship with your dad, you can watch it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
No.
If that's all it offers.
I mean, there's space stuff, and there's kind of like almost a space car chase at some point.
You know who had a good relationship with his dad? It's Shea Serrano.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about his dad.
So on our podcast, he talked about going to he said one of the things that that stood out. Eric asked him about his favorite sporting events he went to. Shea was great on the podcast. I want to ask Dell about the candy thing, too.
Yeah.
But Shea said that he went to Hemisphere Arena to watch an old Spurs game when he was in San Antonio. And as a little kid, I can't remember, the Spurs were getting whacked. They were losing. And the ball was going out of bounds. And somebody, I don't remember if he said who the Spur was, ran and dove and jumped and tried to save the ball, and he didn't even save it. And everyone started applauding, like standing ovation, applauding. And he asked his dad, what are they cheering about? He didn't, A, make a play, and B, the Spurs are losing. And his dad, he goes, like a scene in a movie, because he tried, son. Because he tried. And that was such a movie thing. Now,
that's why he's a nerdy Spurs fan.
He tried to pitch something to Shea, because Shea's written basketball and other things, movie and other things. Mm-hmm. The rap coloring book. He's
got rap and other things coming out. So he's got this series and other things. And okay. Have you read any of them?
No, I've seen the books. I used to work at a Barnes & Noble, so I've seen his books out, but I've never read them.
I mean, okay. He's a three-time New York Times bestseller. Yeah. He was a school teacher in Houston.
Right.
Who is for The Ringer now. I mean, he's a huge pop culture icon.
But I was just going to give if you haven't read the books, the structure of the books, each chapter is a standalone essay. On that, so you don't even have to read it in order. If you didn't watch the Star Wars, you don't have to read that chapter if you don't want, so on and so forth. Go ahead.
Eric took great offense that
reassigned
Oscars. He reassigned the Oscars in 1995. That's a Pulp Fiction year, Forrest Gump year. What was another?
Weddings and a Funeral.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Lion King.
He had a lot of.
I've heard his takes on that, and Forrest Gump winning has upset a lot of people looking back now.
Well most people, like, they're upset because they think Shawshank Redemption. But possibly
the same
a
year,
lot of people
too?
Yes. So a lot of people think Shawshank should have won that year, but Forrest Gump, he stripped it away and he gave it to Speed.
Speed. Yes. I love Speed, but I would have never.
Thank
listen
you.
To the podcast and he explains why he gives it to Speed, and we end up talking about Keanu Reeves. But Eric tried to pitch him candy and other things. And on the surface, I actually like this because this is the kind of thing.
It's a great book.
Shea could actually go in a lot of different directions with this because he also told us he loves candy.
Well, we didn't know that that candy is his vice. Like, he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
He doesn't do drugs.
So you actually.
I just happened to say candy and other things. And he was like, so every.
Candy's
every,
his jam.
Yeah. So every week he goes on Monday and picks like loads of candy for the week.
This is all on a podcast. Go to Off Script and you can hear it. Just subscribe and listen to it. But Eric starts his pitch with, okay, so first, here it is. I've already got the first paragraph,
the first chapter.
First chapter, Milk Duds. And me and
Milk
Shea
Duds.
Simultaneous, me and America simultaneously just went.
Milk Duds.
Thank you.
Milk Duds. Is a fantastic show.
When do you ever eat Milk Duds besides at the movie theater?
You don't. That's what makes it so special.
Then it's not that great.
No, you get it with popcorn. And
I understand
the
mixture.
Milk Duds in the popcorn. The heat of the popcorn melts and softens the dud.
But this is just like people who will stand up for turkey. If you're not going to eat a whole turkey, throughout the year. It's not that special.
Don't stand up for turkey.
You don't stand up for Milk Duds like... either. If you're not heading to CVS for Milk Duds, it's not that special.
Okay, then what's your candy?
I'm a Sour Patch Watermelon guy.
Ooh. So you are.
What
that's,
are you, seven?
I could have nailed that.
What? Sour Patch Watermelons what? For seven-year-olds.
Yeah. I like chewy candy.
Grown-up candy like but peanut also, M&M.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know there's no such thing as a grown-up candy? You know that, right?
Sour Patch thing, that's a black guy
Toblerone
thing,
would so? Like yeah. a word,
Sour Patch Kid. Yeah. You got a point. But that's not really candy. That's a delicacy at this point.
That's an adult candy.
Sour Patch Kids are a black guy candy.
I'm not fighting that. Yeah.
And Twizzlers.
I don't know if you know this.
I feel like Twizzlers
black
might
guy.
Be.
Yeah, of course. I'm a black guy who likes Sour Patch candy. Yeah.
Twizzlers might be white guy candy.
Twizzlers is trash.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
If you're going to go that route, go Red Vines.
Oh, I'm out.
We actually
I'm
had
out.
That on.
I'm just grabbing my stuff. I'm going. I can't do it.
I don't even like Red Vines, but if you're going to choose between them, don't go Twizzlers. You got to go Red Vines.
That is literally the shortest chapter in the book. Twizzlers or Red Vines, Twizzlers period Jay next
said,
chapter.
It's trash. Yeah. No, Twizzlers are trash. Twizzlers too. You can go the Australian licorice. You can go the strawberry one.
Australian licorice, but not black licorice.
Okay,
not black,
but if you're going Twizzlers, you got to do the pull and peel Twizzlers.
Twizzlers
are way better than original Twizzlers.
Twizzlers are plastic.
Red like Vines are made of wax.
You ever had the imitation crab where you can
that's
pull
what
the,
Twizzlers
yeah,
are.
That's what Twizzlers
they're
are,
trash.
But the candy version.
No. Red Vines is like the Costco version
I've never
of
had
Twizzlers.
Red Vines.
Of course you have.
I'm not choosing Red Vines over
You just
anything.
Did.
I, over Twizzlers I would because Twizzlers is terrible.
Okay, if you're rolling into CVS right now to get your candy.
I'm not choosing Red Vines or
what
Twizzlers.
What are you getting?
All right, what are your three candies you're getting? Sour Patch Watermelon. You're already
okay,
on
give me now a chocolate
have,
category.
Now I would have now and later's great. You're a black.
Then you're a black guy then too.
In a way.
If I'm choosing, you
or
said
sour
chocolate?
Apple.
Yeah, chocolate category.
I'm a Snickers guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
straight down the fairway. That's respectable.
Snickers
yeah,
is
I mean,
very,
it's not.
Well,
it's
what
not,
would not yeah. be respectable under the chocolate candy category?
No, I didn't say respectful.
Except
I just said it's straight down
Duds.
The fairway.
You found the only one.
Milk Duds is ridiculous.
I would love a Score bar too. Score Heath? Depends, but I
that's,
I would go,
that's
I would
another thing you
score.
Only have at Halloween. Who's buying Heath bars normally?
Oh, yeah. Me.
You get the mini ones at Halloween,
no,
and that's it.
No,
bars.
No.
Yeah, where do you find Heath bars?
At your local
they're
CVS.
They're there, but no one's buying them. Unless it's the mini
you
bar for
Halloween.
You don't
appreciate the caramel nougat, do you?
I like caramel. I don't care
he
about nougat,
like
nougat at all.
That's the thing. He's not nuanced enough to like a nougat.
Of course, clearly
nuance.
Not.
Whatever. You just back peanut M&M. So what are you talking about nuance?
No, that's mainstream. I'm right down the middle of the fairway.
Man, why are you talking about nuance?
I'm a 285-yard drive right in the middle. Not, I'd sell right down the fairway.
Plain M&M.
He just plain?
No, peanut.
He just his Milk Duds a hook. He hooked that into the trees.
Yeah. Shea went pretzel M&Ms.
No, he said peanut butter M&M.
Oh. Even
get out
which
of
is
it.
A
out
little
here.
Bit
Reese's Pieces if you're doing peanut
but
butter.
But Shay also goes
Reese's
off
Pieces
the beaten
same thing.
Path with this candy
Reese's
too.
Pieces actually, Reese's Pieces, I believe the ratio is a little off.
Hold
there.
Up. Get JC on just
no,
real
we
got
to go to break.
Dude, JC wants to talk about
we
got to
go to break.
Candy.
He can hang on.
Fine. 920 here.
The inner producer in me. That's all that
I
is.
Want to tell you about Men's T Clinic, though. Men's T Clinic gives you a chance for you to go get your testosterone levels checked. You get your testosterone levels checked. Once you do that, you find out if you're low. If you're low, they start to give you treatments. And when you get treatments, it's like filling your gas tank up or getting service on your vehicle. If you don't have the service on your vehicle, it's not going to perform. If your testosterone level is running low, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have more fatigue. It can have an impact on libido. It can have a huge impact on your lean muscle mass, on your workouts. There's so many things that testosterone positively impacts, but when you don't have the testosterone levels, it negatively impacts. So make sure that you go check out the website for more information at menstclinic.com. There's 5 locations in Houston, so there's no excuse not to get to one and start to live your best life with menstclinic.com.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So Tony Moles from Anthem Agency, who handles our artwork and is a tremendous creative director, ANTHMAgency.com, he says, don't let the haters get to you, Dell. Sitting here with Sour Patch Watermelons on my desk as we speak. the goat candy.
Yeah,
and
Will,
he sends a picture.
Will, our young intern, same way. He loves them. Thank you. I'm not alone. Milk duds. Another version of candy corn.
No,
really.
I never. And KJ's right. If chapter one is milk duds, is chapter two candy corn. I feel like that's a good follow up.
Yeah.
100%.
I'll take that. I'll take that blow.
Let's get JC in here real quick. Just says liquor, lollipop, candy. And then we'll get Grace about Rockets. What's going on, JC?
Hey. Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Man, I'm out here. I'm at the park right now fishing, trying to wait for the fish to start biting, and I'm eating a liquor lollipop. Now I hear you guys talking about great kids' candy, but I ordered this candy because it's made for adults, and boy, does it taste good.
So it's a liquor lollipop?
Where
did you get it?
JC, where'd you order it?
Well, I ordered it online. A friend of mine in Atlanta told me about it. It's called liquorlollipops.com. And what I ordered was the exotic mix. So my wife and I, we got the sex on the beach. We got the rum punch and we got the gin and juice. And I mean, it's just like a Jolly Rancher.
Oh, wow.
But it's so much. Yeah, it's no alcohol, but it's all the flavor. So it's just like so dope, man.
Wait, did you say
there's
no alcohol?
No alcohol?
No alcohol whatsoever. It's just all the flavor of it. Yeah, so it's all ages.
Wait, so you have to drink the drink, but don't get the alcoholic, like
that's like near beer
burst.
Yeah,
apparently not.
Like what they say, a placebo effect. It's like, you know, relaxing kind of. I mean, I enjoy it. It's so different.
Bourbon and ancho chili. Wait, are you sure there's no alcohol in it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because they couldn't sell it over.
All the flavor.
They probably can't sell it.
You couldn't sell right.
Online, I guess. I don't know the rules. I don't know. But go ahead.
Since I start eating this, man, I put the Jolly Ranchers and the Skittles down, and I've been liquor lollipopping.
It is more grown up, Del. You can put your. Why don't you get on? And Del, you're a guy who doesn't drink, so this is your chance to drink in candy form.
It is. It's very grown up.
Is it?
Yeah.
To have a lollipop hanging out of your mouth while you're fishing just because it tastes like Hennessy, that's grown up.
A Hennessy lollipop, you can have that instead of Sour Patch Watermelon.
You
can feel like you're drinking.
I'll stick with my Sour Patch lollipops. We kind of got distracted because Eric's here. He's got a new show, it's premiering October 9th, right?
October 9th on Disney Plus, The Right Stuff.
You loved when Hamilton came out and like 15 million new subscribers.
Yes, I did.
Plus.
Yes, I did.
Is this one of your favorite things you've ever worked on?
Yeah, this is. You know what? It's just, I think right now it is really, really timely in the sense that the space program was one of those times in American history where everybody came together. You know, it was something that we could all rally behind.
Yeah.
It was, you know, so the show's inspirational. It's aspirational. Like I said, I think over the course of several seasons, it'll take us through a history that's pretty special. And more than anything, like what I found so cool about it was reminding myself of what these people accomplished with such little technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is more technology in your iPhone than what they had in an entire mission control, and they were able to put somebody in space. And that's pretty remarkable, you know? And it's inspirational in the sense that, you know, we can do a lot. So hopefully people watch it and start to, you know, flip to a positive attitude, and I think it's going to be good.
Because if you think about it, historically, the ones that come to my mind are, I mean, obviously the World Wars did that for people, but I think of Schmeling versus Lewis, when Joe Lewis beat Max Schmeling and everyone got behind, which was a big deal at that particular time for a black fighter to have everyone behind him, but that was a United States thing. You think of... Certainly, I mean, a lot of times it revolves around wars, but you think about the 1980 Olympics with the U.S.
I was going to say Olympics.
Olympics usually, yeah. Carl Lewis,
yeah.
The hockey team. You can go to 9/11. I felt like the country kind of had a thing with 9/11.
But again, that's a disaster.
Then, yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just so often it's something terrible.
Yeah, that's true. I can't
think
since 9/11, like, when has there been a time that the country, a lot of times sports will do that. Because the space program, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
To go to, you're flying into the
unknown.
Well,
you know, it's one of the few times that everybody, every single person in the country was on their TV, on their radio, outside, you know, pulling over to listen to this
when
launch.
Was everybody on their TV for one thing since then? Game of Thrones.
Maybe outside of Game
season
of Thrones,
finale.
Right. So it was, you know, I mean, they didn't know what was going to happen. These seven astronauts, which we talk about a lot in the series, are kind of America's first reality show. They had struck a deal with Life Magazine to be able to share their story, and they became instant celebrities, as did their families. Yes.
As it was going on?
Yes. So
you guys tell that story.
So we tell that story. And so, these men were thrust into a position where they were essentially a reality show, and they were America's first, celebrities that they could watch their lives. And there was a problem, not a problem, but all of these men were test pilots, and test pilots lived on the edge. They were philanderers, and they were alcoholics, and they, committed adultery, and they were badasses that lived on the edge, and it's why they were good at their job. But now all of a sudden they had cameras in their face and journalists wanting to know what was going on, and they had to present this, this kind of different lifestyle to America. But at the same time, what they did was how they kept their edge, and that's what made them good enough to agree to strap themselves on top of a nuclear bomb and let somebody hit the ignite button and see if they could get to space.
And they would all choose Red Vines over Twizzlers, so shout out to
them. There you go.
Well, it's highly unlikely.
Twizzlers is disgusting. It's the McRib of candies, biting on plastic.
The McRib.
No flavor taste.
That's amazing.
This is what Dream Shake tweeted.
The McRib of candies. That's actually not a bad descriptor.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that, the McRib of something.
McRib of something.
You're the Josh Rosen of barbecue.
What's that?
You're the Josh Rosen of barbecue.
Yeah. Calls me the Josh Rosen. I'm good at barbecue, but this is his new thing.
No, Josh Rosen was good at football.
And you question everything
he
around
just
you.
Wasn't just special.
Just like Josh Rosen does. Josh Rosen always has questions about things. Give me the right. You always question about barbecue.
Josh Rosen. We didn't get to talk about your Astros.
That's all right.
We have a bootleg podcast coming up tonight. I think you'll want to hear that. But make sure you listen to Off Script with Shea Serrano. Subscribe to ours if you want to hear more of Eric, since can't find him on Twitter anymore. He checked out of that.
Instagram.
You find him on Instagram.
Yeah, @EricLady.
Yeah, you'll get to see him on October.
And Off Script.
So, yeah, you're putting some good stuff out there about the right stuff as well. So you can follow that too. Eric, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm going to go get tested.
Put your mask back on. Yep. Get tested.
I'm out.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to The Bench. Eric's heading out. Appreciate Eric stopping by. Eric and Lance are going to have dinner tonight. They're going through logistics of how they're going to get through the night during the break.
So we're going to tape our podcast. I guess if you ask real nice, on Twitter, I'll DM whoever might come to the bootleg podcast. But it's not really open to the public, but it is a place that's open to the public. But we're going to tape it pretty late at night. But my wife did say, he's a germaphobe. So I don't know. We got to be careful when we're sharing plates with him, like what we're going to have. Eric, when he goes to a hotel he's going to stay in for multiple months, he goes to like Target and buys his own vacuum and picture frames, and like he turns it into his own apartment. Does that not sound weird to you?
Well, if he's missing home, what are we watching the NBA players do? They're doing quite the same. They're bringing.
You can bring pictures and stuff like that. They bring their shoes and an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Some of them are bringing complete computer systems to play.
To play games.
Warzone.
Yeah, that's a game playing system. He brings his own sheets. He changes the sheets from. He buys new sheets and change. That's even above you, to change sheets on a bed.
Look, I mean, we're in different tax brackets too. If I thought I could just buy sheets just to be at a hotel, I might do it too. But
you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not that fussy.
Well, I don't like the term fussy, so yeah, I would agree I'm not that fussy. Call me
Grace,
fussy.
Grace wants to talk about the Rockets. So the Rockets they won again yesterday. They held a team under 100 points, and I'll get to what Jeff Van Gundy said in just a second. What's up, Grace? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good. Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, and I just want to first of all say, John and Lance, we might my boyfriend and I might listen to your DeChambeau about seven times a day.
Bryson DeChambeau! Always a hole in one!
Sorry, I had to do it.
Is that... You guys do that?
That's... Did you actually want to talk about Rockets?
You guys shouldn't be... You guys shouldn't have the availability of your episodes to be recorded and listened to again because... Well, actually, you should because people do listen to it. That's us.
This is an Eric Wong thing, right?
I don't know.
You guys are like very low. Is there any way that...
I've never heard this voice associated with Eric Wong before, but I'm not sure.
Oh, is this a new one?
Yeah, this is a new caller. I've never heard Grace on the show before.
It's the first time.
Grace, what's your do you recognize what she was talking about?
No.
No? So Lance
sure
is...
do. Do you know who Bryson DeChambeau is?
Okay.
But that's
that.
Just a standard John Granato thing.
But John's not here today,
Come
by the way.
Come on, guys. You need to catch up. It's the morning, but you guys are a little...
That's enough.
Hold on. All right.
Put the coffee for closers. Put that coffee down.
Are
we here to talk about the Rockets or about DeChambeau?
Let's talk about the Rockets.
I respect that she just went put that coffee down.
But Grace, do you know that John's not here, right?
John's not even here because John wouldn't be quiet this
long
about golf.
It's okay. Hey, it's okay. Lance is my favorite, anyways. Hey, but can I say something real quick? Okay,
yes,
I know you guys. Your airtime is very valuable, as is your time. So I grew up in Arizona. I knew James Harden. I saw him play at Arizona State University. I followed that boy, and he was an excellent player, as he is now in the NBA, a very well-respected, honorable person, always kind, always giving back. He's the same person he is when he was a kid. And when we talk about, you guys are talking about P.J. Tucker, your power forward. Okay, P.J. Tucker, he is like, I would like to embody that person. That is somebody who is a motivator. That is somebody who leads the team. That is somebody who does not take accolades, is not looking for a handout. And I grew up watching the Phoenix Suns, man. Steve Nash is my favorite player. And Steve Nash was one of those players. I always like those ones that are not looking for the freaking high five every time, not looking for the slap on the ass, like, did you see that? Thank you. I'm not looking for that. And no team should be looking for that. And when you guys are talking about, and P.J. Tucker, that person is going to carry that team. Yeah, you have good people like Westbrook, but guess what? Westbrook is lazy. Westbrook does not get back. When you have a point guard that does not want to get back, that's why he's on the bench. That's why you get injured, because you're lazy. And if you're not going to give 110% in your game, then guess what? The same is going to be reflected in your practice. And so if you're not going to give 100%, most of these players get hurt when they're horse-assing around, right? When they're just freaking like B-balling with their buddies.
They're jolly-popping
at the Sonic,
yeah.
Thinking about it. What's that?
When they're jolly-popping at the Sonic. That's what our coach
used to
say. Stop jolly-popping at the Sonic.
When they think that they can wear rollerblades and fucking pretend that they're Sonic.
Tyler. You got to go. I love the energy. I've been nervous the entire phone call from Grace.
Bro, my hand was
the first S-bomb where she just rolled through like, I don't care what you're saying because I'm going to keep rolling. It was a matter of time before an F-bomb was dropped. That was like a lot.
She almost said an S before that.
I thought she may have said that.
It was a shh, and then she caught herself.
I think she's had a lot of... Sour Patch.
You can't get drunk all... Or you can't drink all day. If you don't start,
and there was someone in the back, you call it drinking. I don't know what it was, but there
like
was someone.
Said,
there was someone in the background laughing at her too.
Yes.
I don't know what was going
on. I'm
going
to be honest with you.
I like that energy.
She came in. She. First of all, I've never heard anyone talk that fast, like other than an auctioneer in my entire life.
Oh, I didn't understand if she was saying. I didn't know she was saying Bryson.
I got something really right now, Bryson. This is like the ShamWow guy if he were still alive.
Grace, please do call in again, but just realize, as you mentioned, you talk about airtime and if it's important to us or not, whatever. But
I don't even know what she was saying.
The license is important.
Yeah.
So all we ask is you can be energetic, but maybe not say enough.
I like that
maybe
energy.
Maybe not say the
though.
F word. That's
I
all.
Like the energy. She did call James Harden a boy. She said that boy.
She loves that boy.
But
pretty
that's
much.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's fine.
I feel like that didn't come from
a
negative
she was
place.
Like, I didn't think it was coming from a bad place when she said, I lived in Arizona.
And watched
I
him
know
play.
James Harden. I thought, oh, boy.
But she said he was a nice guy.
I know, but I thought something else. Like, I thought she was going to say, one time I was at a club, and I was like, oh, boy, this is not going to be.
She didn't but have was, kind words for Russell Westbrook, though.
Yeah, he's lazy.
And that's and how he always, got hurt?
You get hurt being lazy, looking for handouts, and... That was another little buzzword she threw in there. And then when you're looking to have your ass slapped, P.J. Tucker's not looking. Now, I agree with her. The embodiment of P.J. Tucker is the embodiment of winning playoff basketball. I agree with her on that. It did when she said, we had a coach who says, don't jolly pop at the Sonic, which means stop being lazy.
What does jolly pop mean?
I don't know. It's something that a 7-year-old coach would have said when I was in high school.
That's
you're
old
jolly popping at the Sonic. The Sonic.
Who even new school goes coaches to the Sonic just call lazy players slap D's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
You got that. Man, I like the energy though.
I do.
Like
I
like
did
the
too.
Energy on a like it could be on like she might I might have her on Grace, hit me up on Twitter. I might put you on our podcast just because then you can cuss
you
away.
Can say whatever you like. As but much you, as she talked about
she
Russell Westbrook, she
person.
Feels like she has that Russell Westbrook energy. Like, if you translated what he does on the court to
Crazy Grace
calling in, yeah.
She is Crazy Grace. Grace Westbrook.
Grace, call in as much as you'd like, but maybe regulate some of the words. That's all. That's all we're asking
That's
for.
That's not happening.
No, probably not.
I got no sense that she was going to regulate anything.
You're probably right.
Grace Westbrook's just running in, getting dunks, and then turning it over the next time, jumping up in the air with nowhere to go, so she just screams out an F word. I liked it, though. I mean, there's something about I kind of liked it. I hope she calls again. I don't know that I need her to call when Granado's here, though.
Because
I don't know. I just feel like it's just too much.
She loves him, but loves you more. Didn't acknowledge me, which is fine.
How
but
do you know that? I couldn't understand.
She said
she
that.
Saying.
I said
it was going so fast.
I said, Grace. By the way, John's not here. She goes, that's okay. Lance is my favorite. That's what she said.
I did. Thank you, Grace.
I heard
missed
that.
That. But
now the thought is, if John was here, the initial question would be, "Whoa, Grace, what are you wearing?"
Yeah. Yeah, don't think for 1 second John would have asked what you were wearing or what you were drinking.
Yeah, well, that too.
Those are the two questions that you would have been asked 100%. And, yeah, when she hit us with coffees for closers, wow.
Do you think, you don't think it was drinking? What substance do you think was going
Sour,
on?
Sour, Patch, Kids, watermelon flavor. Something with a tremendous amount of sugar in it.
Yeah, I don't eat Sour Patch watermelons in the morning, although someone on our timeline does. Concept Tony does. But shout out to Grace. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Good stuff. She said, "Boy, I don't even know what Brother Bear's even talking about. Did Grace do 3 espressos or 3 lines?" No, Gus. No. Although Eric did say in our podcast, he said one time he had to do fake cocaine, so he snorted sugar like about 9 straight takes of it, and he said it gives you the worst headache you've ever had in your entire life. He said it was the worst thing, one of the worst things he's experienced is doing lines of sugar for this movie. And I take do it again. Oh
God. I think after the second or third one, he should have been like, can we just get some real stuff in here?
Just like, yeah, Greg in Succession.
Be better off.
Do that. All right, we're going to break it right now. I do want to get to the Rockets for a second because, A, they're 2-0 in the playoffs, and the Lakers had a big win yesterday. But Jeff Van Gundy said something on the broadcast I want to get to and see if we can take it serious. I take it serious what Jeff's saying. I'm just curious if we should expound on it. It's 9:45 here on the bench. Time for me to tell you about the Skeeters. I had a great time at the Skeeters game yesterday. We watch Roger Clemens' squad versus Pete Incaviglia's squad, Texas, versus the Skeeters. There was a big right-hander out there, 6'7", 240 pounds, throwing about 93-94. A guy named Courtney Hawkins plays for the Skeeters. He was the 13th pick of the draft in the Carlos Correa draft. Went to University of Texas. And it's crazy how many players out there. You start reading up on these players. These are A and AA players. These are former first-round picks. There's a lot of different guys who are out there playing. But the great thing was the night at the park was so much fun. The weather was great. We got to go up into the Insperity Suite where you've got food and you've got beverages. You've got the Seats app where you can have food brought directly to you without getting up. Only 2,000 people allowed in per game max. That's the max amount. Thursdays, take your dog to the park. The game tonight, you've got fireworks going tonight. There's always something going on with the Skeeters, and it's a chance for you to watch real sports live in a safe environment, extremely clean, people wearing masks all over there who are working. It's just a really fun time. I highly recommend getting to one of the coolest parks that you're going to find at Constellation Field and checking out some Constellation Field baseball with 4 different teams out there with A and AA players. It's SugarlandSkeeters.com for tickets and more information. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John is out, but I'm still in, as is Dell. Actually taking you to 11 o'clock today, Tyler as well. So the Rockets win. It was a good defensive performance. Actually, the first two games, they played really good defense. And yesterday during the game, Jeff Van Gundy, look, there's a little bit of self-check going on right now by Oklahoma City. They just don't seem very well prepared to play the brand of basketball that they're playing against the Rockets. They're playing Rockets ball, and they just look overmatched. But Jeff Van Gundy made a comment that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, we're going to have to start talking about the Rockets as a championship team. The Rockets can win a championship if they play defense like this. And I'll never forget when he said that James is bringing the ball back up the court, because that's one of those things that when you say it, it immediately grabbed a spot in my head, and I had to immediately start considering whether or not that was accurate. And the way the Lakers have played in the bubble, yesterday notwithstanding, they had a really good game yesterday, and then Dame Lillard also had a dislocated finger. He says he's going to play through it, but you just got the sense that the Lakers woke up yesterday, but they're not a dynamic offensive team. And when the Rockets are hitting threes, it is a big problem for anybody. If the Rockets do defend, or maybe the better question is, do they have the type of guys who can defend against the Lakers if they make it that far, which I expect them to now? You think that's something to consider? I feel like Van Gundy, you know, could be onto something if you're also hitting threes. That the Rockets, if they play defense with some level of intensity, have to be taken serious as a championship contender.
Watching them play up close, if you're Jeff Van Gundy, I could see why you would reach that conclusion, particularly when you expect Russ Westbrook to get back. So you have your second all-star back. So you don't really go into a series with the Lakers at a real talent disadvantage, because when you look at the two rosters, you go the top two for both teams, and you can start picking and choosing, and you might get to more Rockets that you'd want as opposed to Lakers once you get past the top two. I don't know if I'm going to use OKC's deficiencies as and project the Rockets to go win a title, because I was wrong about OKC. They are far more limited offensively than I thought, particularly when they want to play Steven Adams and then they want to have a guy specifically on the floor to take out James, or at least defend James like they have with Dort, then you're asking the three other guys to make plays with little to no spacing on the floor. I've never seen LeBron James not get shots for his guys, which has been the real issue for the Thunder, not getting open looks. Even right. Danilo's had a good series so far, but there's always someone in his grill. How many open shots have the Thunder gotten?
Not a ton.
When it comes to guys that the Rockets don't want to shoot. Excuse me. There are a lot of guys who are shooting the basketball for the Thunder that the Rockets want to shoot. The guys they don't want to shoot the basketball aren't getting open looks.
Well, they're letting certain guys have shots.
Yeah, those guys they'll give open looks to all day. And Dort made a couple.
But Dort,
they're gonna let him shoot all the time until he becomes a knockdown shooter, which probably won't happen over the next 3 to 4 games, however long the series goes. I have yet to see LeBron not get his guys open shots. So that'll be the question when LeBron is playing point guard, which he will be doing pretty much the entire series. Can they keep him out of the lane like they're doing to the likes of Gilgeous Alexander and Chris Paul?
So James Harden didn't play particularly well. Dort did a really good job defensively on him. Eric Gordon was 0-for-10 from 3-point line. They combined for 2-for-22, but the rest of the team was 50%. And I brought this up earlier. Ben McLemore, PJ Tucker and Jeff Green are 50% from three combined over the first two games. You're just not going to beat the Rockets if they're doing that. And the Jeff Green thing, it's not like he's 2-for-2. I mean, Jeff Green is going to the rack on people. He is getting rebounds. He's playing. Jeff Green was a 10-day contract. And this is where Daryl has excelled, although, you know, you ask yourself, is this partly because of the spacing offense that allows Jeff Green, who's not very athletic, he's not very explosive at all.
But when he's playing the five, he's more athletic than the guys going against. You saw him cook Steven Adams and other guys. I think even might have gotten Nerlens as well a couple times. But also, it's not just Jeff Green beating a guy off the dribble. It's a big guy, particularly if he's the small ball five, having to help rotate after out. James gets around the guy. Right. That guy has to rotate to play help defense, and all of a sudden Jeff Green has a lot of space and a lot of time to either shoot or attack a closeout. So a lot of it has to do with James and Eric Gordon's ability to beat guys off the dribble, and Austin Rivers did some of that as well. So I think Jeff Green and others are certainly benefiting from the inability of the Thunder to stay in front of Rockets drivers.
Well, Jeff Green is just, he's hitting knockdown jumpers.
Yeah, he's open, and he's made them. He was 3-for-6 yesterday. And the Rockets have done a good job attacking closeouts, which is part of their offense, and if you don't close out, they're not hesitant to shoot. And because of the instruction or the mandate, whatever you want to call it, about how they play offense, it's kind of freeing to know we don't really care how many shots you take or miss. Eric Gordon in another system, if he's not shooting 10 threes after he goes 0-for-5, he's probably going to shut that down. But the Rockets are saying, no, keep shooting. Unfortunately, yesterday it turned into an 0-for-10. But the freedom and the willingness to shoot, even if you're poor, which the Rockets were, they're under 34%, you still made 19. And for the Thunder, who didn't shoot the ball well from three either, it's a big deal when you make 19 and the other team makes 11 because you took 56.
I'm going to ask the uncomfortable question. I think the level of defense will go down when Russ comes back. It's hard for it not to, because Russ is just not he's a carefree defender. I'm not saying the Rockets are better without Russ, but what I'm saying is they've now figured out a little bit of a groove. It's two games, I recognize that. But against this particular team, Chris Paul's really struggling. They don't really have offensive answers in terms of creators. I feel like you can take as long as you need with Russ in this series and be fine.
True, and there's no timetable for his return, so it may be a thing where he wasn't even going to be available in this series, particularly if it was a shorter one. But because of the way the first two games have played out, there's no need to bring him back, and there's no need to rush. So I will say this: the ball doesn't. We talk about James and the stereotype or the trend for people to believe that the ball gets stuck in his hands and he just dribbles quite a bit. But as far as that's concerned, Russ will push the pace, but when things aren't available, the ball gets stuck in his hand too.
Oh yeah.
So this particular offense is a lot of drive and kick, and with Russ off the floor, because when James goes off the floor, Russ becomes your main facilitator, and his pace has certainly helped the Rockets quite a bit this year, but the ball gets stuck in his hand. In this offense, whether it's Eric Gordon or it's Austin Rivers, when Russ isn't on the floor and James isn't either, there is a willingness to drive and kick and be quick with the ball and the ball movement. And the Rockets are getting a lot of open looks, and it'll get ugly at times, because we watch stretches of that game where House would miss a couple threes in a row, then PJ would miss a couple threes in a row, or James and Eric would combine to miss four or five threes in a row. But the willingness to play defense combined with the non-hesitancy to shoot those shots has led them to be up 2-0 and really be comfortably up 2-0.
So I just looked this up, just did the math on this. Jeff Green, since getting into the bubble, 37% from three, but obviously in just the playoffs, he's 6 of 13. In the bubble, 37% from three. For his time with his duration with the Rockets, he's shooting 35%, which is the highest he's ever shot in his career. There's something about playing with James that should get you the looks, especially with teams constantly in a state of rotation, rotating to pick up open man. Jeff Green is going to get his open looks. For him to hit at the pace that it's going to be hard for anybody in the NBA to beat them if James plays decent basketball. So,
yeah, we'll it'll be interesting to see
but
when.
That's if they defend too. Now I'm doing.
Yeah,
it's a lot of things for. And this Rocket team doesn't typically defend, and they don't typically hit threes at this pace.
Well,
they're non-starters.
Certainly. James will in a different series, and maybe even this series, depending on how the Thunder improve offensively. If they do, we'll have to play better than he did in Game Two. I just think whether it be McLemore or Green or Tucker, they're just going to get open looks because of James and Russ when he comes back. The question will be, as this series and maybe these playoffs go on, will they hit at the same rate? And will their defense be able to stay at this level when they're facing different competition?
We'll get to more of that. Biscuit, we see you. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. We got some Rockets playoff talk. And being in that bubble and not traveling might also be good for the legs as well. It's 9:58 here on the bench. I go hard on Southside G. Hey, wait. I make sure that Northside E. Yeah.
And still. This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.